Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Said happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. See, we've got a lot of red. We could use more. And there's a lot of red out there. So let's all silence our cell phones and we will listen to Lonnie play the prelude.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Today is Valentine's Day. I mentioned that before. I think you all knew. Hope everybody has their Valentine's ready for their significant others, their children, whoever they give them to. Please sign the friendship sheet, pass it back and forth. Make sure you know who's sitting with you, or at least on the other end of the aisle. Lenten services started last Wednesday, which was amazing. It was fun. There was over 40 of us. We do dinner at 6, which is just soup and a dessert. And then we go to inner room, and we will have the service. It starts at 6:30, so make sure you're here a little before 6 so you can get started eating and get down there, because it is very nice. And 40 people was wonderful, but 50 or 60 would be even greater. So we try to make sure we have enough food for everybody. Next Sunday, Lois Cook will be celebrated for her retirement. I mean, she's been here a long time, as the business manager. So let's everybody show up, bring her cards, congratulate her, and let her know how much we appreciate her. Next Sunday is going to be kind of an eating day, I think, because we're going to have cake with Lois right after service. And then we'll have the youth chili cook-off and bingo, and that will start at 4. So if you want to show everybody how good your chili is, join in that and make sure you cook enough so everybody can taste it, and maybe you'll win. Otherwise, it's $5 to come and eat everything you need. And bingo starts at 4. The pastor's class will start next week on Sunday between the retirement reception and the youth cook-off. You're going to be a very busy lady. So if you know anybody or if you would like to be baptized this year on Easter, get a hold of Pastor Cynthia. The Friendship Brunch, and they're still selling tickets outside the sanctuary, is the 27th. Tickets are $15, and it's 11:30 on the 27th. So if you want to go to that, go out and get your ticket. Maybe not right this minute. The Week of Compassion Offering will be collected for several Sundays. There's little boxes out on the table where they're selling the tickets for the Friendship Brunch. So if you want to grab one of those and fill it full of all the coins and dollars or 20s or whatever, you can get one of those and then hand it in when we're done, okay? They are putting up there and in here the Fleece Blanket Club. We've decided that we're going to call it the Fleece Blanket Project. We've made what? 84 quilts or blankets so far. So we're going to meet every third Saturday downstairs and make more fleece blankets for the people, the homeless, the people who need them. So join us. We have a lot of fun. If you can tie a knot, you can do it, okay? And do we have any more announcements? Any more announcements? Well, then let's stand and greet one another, and then we will sing Love Divine, All Loves Excelling in your hymnal on number 5. It's number 517, verses 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. you join me in the call to worship? On Valentine's Day, the world celebrates love.
Every day, O God, we know we are loved by you.
We gather to celebrate and share your love, given in loaf and cup. In the wilderness times of our lives, guide us toward the love of your cross.
Forgive our sins, create new hearts in your people once again.
Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for your unconditional love and the gift of your precious Son, Jesus, in our lives. We know that you are our refuge, our place of safety. Remind us always of the sacrifices that Jesus made for each of us. Let us not forgive the price Jesus paid, and let us never forget or belittle what he did for us. And now let us say the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. If you would, please take out the purple Chalice Praise songbook and turn to page 127, an appropriate song for the season of Lent, A Wilderness Wandering People. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. We'll just meet at the front steps of the sanctuary. Come on, Colin. nice to see all of you here today. Good morning. This is a special time of year in the church. Shall we scoot over? You guys want to sit on the step? It looks like you're looking for a spot to sit. There you go. We'll make room for our friends. Perfect. This is a special time in the seasons of the church. Right now, we're in a time called Lent. Now, it's not the kind of Lent that sometimes your mom takes out of the dryer. That's spelled L-I-N-T. This kind of Lent is spelled L-E-N-T, Lent. And it's a time when we really intentionally think about Jesus every day. It's kind of like it's a special season to get us ready for Easter. And this year, Easter is going to be in March. So for about a month, a little more than a month, for 40 days leading up to Easter, we are invited to think about Jesus every day. And the reason Lent is 40 days long is because at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus went to the wilderness for 40 days, and he fasted. That means he went without food. Can you imagine? No breakfast, no lunch, no supper, from now all the way until Easter. Can you imagine? I would be so hungry. Have you guys ever been really hungry? Can you think about a time when you were really hungry and you really, really wanted to eat? You know, if you go too long without eating, you kind of get grumpy sometimes. Have you had that happen? It happens to me. Yeah, if I like skip lunch and I sit at my desk, Mrs. Winders, the church secretary, she'll say to me, "Cynthia, I didn't see you eat lunch today." And I always wonder, was I getting grumpy? Is that how she knew? Jesus went 40 days without food because he wanted to pay attention to God that whole time. And so every time he felt a little bit hungry, instead of eating, he prayed. This week, I invite you, anytime you feel a little bit hungry, go ahead and pray just to yourself, just silently. Say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for food. Thank you for my mom and dad." Just say a little prayer. And this week, we'll let our hunger remind us that God feeds us. God takes care of us. God loves us very, very much. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the time that you spent in the wilderness. And we thank you, Lord, for being for us the bread of life, so that when our souls are hungry, you come and feed us. Oh God, bless these children. Every time they're hungry, may they think of you and know that you will feed them. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming forward this morning. You can head to Children's Church or go back and sit with Mom and Dad. There's a list of prayer concerns on the back of your bulletin. As we share these, I encourage you to take out a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. Write a note to someone who needs to know that you're praying for them in worship today. And then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower this morning is for George Morrison. George continues recovering from back surgery. Terry shared at our chapel service today that George is doing well. He's at that point in recovery where he's starting to feel better, so he doesn't feel like he's sick enough to stay in bed all the time, but he doesn't feel good enough to get up and do anything. That's kind of a miserable in-between point to be. So please pray for George and Terry during this time of recovery. Tom May asks us to pray for the Stanford family. Grandma Stanford, their bowling friends, suffered a heart attack and had a 4-bypass operation. Prayers of healing for her. We continue to pray for those who are going through chemo treatments and other treatments for cancer. We continue to pray for Lindy Bland and Laura Chipperfield, for Cal Decker, and so many others. The missionary we're lifting in prayer today is Phyllis Bird, who is serving in East Africa. Prayers for the disciples in Africa. Usually on Sunday morning, we have a prayer sheet at the back of the sanctuary. We encourage folks to sign it, and then we send it to a congregation in the region. We pray for one of our brother and sister disciple churches in Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, Idaho, or Utah. This morning, the region is praying for us. So we're not signing a sheet for ourselves, but this week I encourage you to pray for First Christian Casper and to know that others are praying for us. We hold in prayer our church leadership, our staff, our board chair, Nicholas Grooms, our vice chair, Mark Williams, our chair of elders, Linda Mosteller, and all who are serving in the church. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to share with one another? Lonnie.
Well, my oldest granddaughter, Kim, who was christened in this church many years ago in the arms of her mother, and her name is Ariel, and she's the mother of our first great-granddaughter, Mia, who will be two today, is getting engaged to Mia's father today, but Ariel doesn't know that, so keep it a secret.
So, no posting on Facebook during worship. Congratulations to Kim and to Mia, who will now officially have mommy and daddy be married to each other. What a beautiful thing. Blessings for them.
My cousin Edie Ray passed away suddenly. Prayers for her family.
Prayers for Edie Ray and family at her sudden death. Tom.
Yeah, I got to get a down injection in my right knee. This doesn't work. Just June after the PDA tournament, I may have to have surgery.
Prayers for Tom as he gets an injection in his knee. And I announced a few weeks ago you were going to an NBA tournament. It's a PBA tournament, so I guess I'm not too up with sports. But prayers that you can bowl and be pain-free in that knee.
Yesterday, I had a great time.
Terrific. Cindy.
Karen Sims, thanks for the card shower and all of the cute little gifts that went in there. She opened it and called me back, and she says, "Are you trying to make me cry?" And I said, "Yes, did we succeed?"
We are so glad that Karen received our prayer cards and our love. Thank you for sending them to her. Prayers for Jackie. Prayers for Jackie as she is having back pain, and I know it's a joy for her to have Brad back in worship with us. Thank you for being here today. Madison.
So I've been trying to get back into shape again as of late, but I've been having a really difficult time because of my knees. They keep giving me some more issues. So prayers that I can just work through the pain and get some of this weight off so it helps them more and just so I don't hurt them even more.
Prayers for Madison, for her knees, and for her health. Let us all turn to the Lord now. Oh, one more concern. Kylie, that's okay. Prayers for the Stewart family, a challenging time. Abel's grandmother has gone to heaven. Abel is without work right now, as are others in our congregation and community. And losing a chicken is a sad day for Max and Colin. So prayers of comfort for all the family with those challenges. Now let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. Holy Lord Jesus, at the beginning of your earthly ministry, you spent time alone in the wilderness, in prayer and fasting. In these 40 days of Lent, Lord, may we spend time with you, mindful of our own hungers, the temptations that we face, and our need for your presence in our lives. O great physician, we pray for your healing to be upon those we have named and so many others. We pray for George as he recovers from back surgery. We pray for Jackie as she lives with back pain and seeks treatment. We pray for Tom and Madison as they struggle with painful knees. We ask for health. Be with the Stanford family and others who have loved ones in the hospital. Lord, we pray for comfort for the family of Edie Ray, and for Abel as he mourns the passing of his grandmother. We ask, O God, for your comfort and peace to be with all who know grief. Thank you for the love that Karen Huckfelt felt when she received cards from this congregation. We pray your blessing upon her and other young adults who are sent forth from this place into the world to make their way. Watch over all the children of our church, O God, the little ones in our midst, the teens and students, and those who are grown and gone, may they still know they are so loved. We rejoice with Lonnie at the news of Kim's engagement, and we pray for the blessing of a healthy marriage to unfold in the future. Lord, we pray for Abel and for others who are looking for jobs. Members of our church and members of our community, because of changes in the economy, have been laid off, have had jobs just disappear. Lord, we pray for them that they might yet have the opportunity to work, to use the skills of their hands, to provide for themselves and their families. And we pray, O God, that our community might respond with generous support for people who may be in need in between jobs. Thank you, Lord, for the work of ministry. Bless Phyllis as she serves in East Africa. And bless missionaries around the world who carry forth your word to people who may have never heard it before. And we pray, O God, that you would bless every member and leader of First Christian Church in Casper as you call us to be missionaries just down the street here with our neighbors and co-workers. For 95 years, O God, this congregation has been a beacon of hope in our community. May your love and light continue to shine through us for 95 years to come. Bless and strengthen the ministry that we share in this place, that we might carry forward the precious name of Jesus Christ. For it is by your grace that we pray and we live. Amen. Having a teenager in the house changes how you cook. The last time I was at the grocery store, there was a large packet of stew meat on sale. I thought, that's terrific. I can fill the crock pot before I go to work. When Peter gets home from track, he can eat a bowl full and it will fill him up. So I found a recipe for some Mexican pork stew. I put in big chunks of meat, some potatoes, some green chili. I let it simmer all day. And then when it was supper time, Charles said, "I'm sick, I'm going straight to bed." And Peter texted from track and said, "I have a friend going out for supper, can I go?" And I said, "Sure." I looked at the crock pot and I thought, who can I invite for supper? I had a bowl of stew and I put the rest in the fridge. A day or two later, I warmed up the crock pot again, thinking it'll still be good, the family will eat. Charles was still sick. Peter had another friend who wanted him to come over for supper. So I ate pork stew and put the rest in the fridge. Tonight, I think we're going to have pork potato green chili burritos. I'm hoping I won't be eating by myself. If anyone's hungry, feel free to show up around 6 o'clock. I think there'll be plenty to share. Sometimes when we come to the communion table, we take just a little piece of bread and we almost think of it as a leftover. It's some extra little crumb someone put on the table for us. Sometimes our attitude towards communion is that this is some extra little leftover part of worship, some ancient ritual. Why do we do it every Sunday after all? Yet this meal has been planned and prepared with love for you. This meal has been planned and prepared by Jesus to feed the deepest hunger of your soul. At this table, by God's grace, our sins are forgiven. And we experience again a tangible, tasteable sign of God's love. The good news is there's plenty to share, so invite your friends. We'll prepare for communion by singing together, "Fill My Cup, Lord," number 351, the first two verses. As we come to the Lord's table, every element before us has significance. The candles are lit to remind us that Christ is the light of the world. There's a rosebud on the table in honor of the newest member of our church family, Amy Black's daughter, little Riley. The bread and the cup speak to us of the body and blood of Jesus. And of course, at the center of it all is the cross. The cross that guides us throughout the season of Lent and throughout our lives as Christians to follow Jesus. As we come to the table, we remember that night when he met with his friends in the upper room. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Gracious eternal God, we have often wandered far from you. Sometimes, even when we come to this table, our thoughts are elsewhere. O God, help us to truly feel the humbling power of that which we celebrate. Help us to receive this bread and this cup as people who truly discern here the broken body and the shed blood of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Last December, as our nation grappled to understand that refugees are the most heavily screened of all entrants into the U.S., fear enveloped some communities. When one Syrian refugee family was denied access into Indiana, this amazing disciple's stories from decades ago was shared for inspiration, once again in this time of unprecedented need. As repression by the Nazis deepened in late 1938, a middle-class Jewish family quickly lost their jobs and were evicted from their apartment, forbidden to attend public school, and saw their synagogue destroyed. Fleeing Germany, the parents and their young daughter came to New York and were later transferred to a refugee hostel in Iowa. It was then that members of the Christian Church in Eureka, Illinois, chose to say no to fears and move beyond only praying. Instead, they drove to the hostel in Scattergood, Iowa, interviewed the daughter, and offered to welcome her family into a furnished apartment in their community that had rarely known Jews, let alone German-born Jews. Disciples' congregations have a brave history of welcoming the stranger and providing safety, shelter, and support to refugees. Through the Week of Compassion, we still offer to help children and adults fleeing war and violence and to communities recovering from natural disasters. If you have not already done so, please take home one of the offering boxes to save your change to help make change. Prayer calendars are also available with a daily reading. As we give back a small portion of what God has given us, let us do so with great joy and thanksgiving to God, who loves us beyond compare. The diaconate will now wait upon us. God, we have laid out before you now our gifts, given from the toil of our labor. We give so that others' burdens may be eased. We entrust these gifts to your guidance as we give them back to you. Bless them and multiply them for your ministry. We ask in your name. Amen.
James and John were two of the 12 disciples Jesus called to walk with him on earth. They saw him heal the sick and walk on the water, and they eagerly listened as he spoke to his followers. They ate with him, fished with him, and learned from him. They saw the crowds cheering him as he walked along the road to Jerusalem for the last time.
Day. All right, so I'm going to be reading from Psalm 91. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 548 in the Old Testament. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, and the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. And he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample under your foot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter in your pew Bible. It's on page 61 of the New Testament. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that anthem today. What a haunting melody. What a wonderful message for the season of Lent. Jesus, we do want you to walk with us. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, so it begins, the journey of Lent. Walk with us. May we still ourselves enough to hear your voice. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, the actions of our lives, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is traditional at the beginning of the season of Lent every year for the church to hear again this story of Jesus spending time in the wilderness. Full of the Holy Spirit, we are told, this story takes place right after Jesus' baptism. Perhaps he was even still dripping wet when the Spirit led him into the wilderness to begin a 40-day journey. When you hear the word wilderness, I wonder what you picture in your mind. Perhaps it's a barren desert wasteland like the Sahara with sand and nothing else. Perhaps when you hear wilderness, you think of a wilderness place you have been. Maybe you have spent time in the backcountry of Yellowstone or in the mountains of Wyoming. And when you hear the word wilderness, you think of grand beauty in nature, but also of places where the weather can change in an instant and even be life-threatening. The physical wilderness where Jesus spent this time was in the Middle East, a region that is often dry except for seasonal rain, a region that does produce food, but only when the rains come. Then there's enough grain or grass for the flocks, but the rest of the time it's kind of hard to get by. No doubt there was a lot of sand, a lot of rocks, and not too much shade where Jesus spent those 40 days. It's cold at night and hot during the day, not a comfortable place to be. But then this 40-day journey was not about comfort, but about being with God. Often in preparing for our weekly time together, when I work on my sermons, I like to read scripture from different translations just to kind of have a nuance of the text. It's interesting how different translators change the Greek into English. This week, as I read these words, "He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over," one translation said, "He was hungry." I thought, no duh. Jesus went 40 days, no breakfast, lunch, supper, no noontime afternoon snack, no morning coffee break, no late night browsing in the fridge. 40 days with no food, with water from a stream to keep him alive. I imagine at the end of that time, yes, he was hungry. The New Revised Standard Version elaborates a little, saying he was famished. To be that hungry means you really feel it. To go that long without food, you get to the point where you have a headache all the time. You're physically weak, lethargic. You're not even thinking clearly. You're tired. You just want to sleep if you can't eat. At his weakest moment was when the devil chose to come and confront Christ. This story reminds us every year at the beginning of Lent that, yes, while we worship the Son of God and Jesus was fully divine, this story reminds us he was also fully human. When he didn't eat, he was hungry. When he didn't sleep, he was tired. When he was cut, he bled. When a beloved friend died, he wept. The 40 days of Lent give us an opportunity to spend time with our divine human Lord, with Jesus, who knows what it's like to be tempted. It's interesting that the very first temptation Satan gave hit Jesus right where he was. "If you are the Son of God," the devil said, "command this stone to become a loaf of bread." What more could you possibly want after not eating for 40 days than just a piece of bread, something to fill your stomach? And yet Jesus replies by quoting from Deuteronomy, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." The rest of that text says, "but by every word that comes from the Lord." If you are the Son of God, the devil says, it's interesting that these temptations even question the very identity of who Jesus was, how he saw himself, who he knew himself to be. In the first three chapters of Luke, we have heard the stories of Jesus' genealogy going all the way back to King David and beyond. He has been proclaimed and announced at his birth as the Messiah, the Son of God. At his baptism, just days before, the Holy Spirit spoke from heaven saying, "This is my Son with whom I am pleased." And now the tempter has the audacity to say, maybe it's not all real. If you are God's Son, then prove it. Show me. Do something as simple as a parlor trick for a good magician. Conjure a little bit of bread because you're so hungry. The second temptation the devil offered was after showing him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. "To you I will give all their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me." That's an interesting footnote. "If you will worship me, it will all be yours." Power, prestige, fame, it might be nice. Surely that would be a good way to start your ministry for the next few years if all the world already knows who you are. But clearly, Jesus is not going to worship anyone besides God, his father. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest pinnacle of the temple. And once again, the devil quoted scripture saying, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Satan quotes Psalm 97. He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. On their hands, they will lift you up so you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus, at this point, is finally fed up and will have nothing to do with it. Jesus answers, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And the devil had finished every test. He figured out it wasn't going to work then, but he departed from him until an opportune time. It's almost as if Satan on his way out the door is waving to Jesus saying, don't worry, I'll be watching. I'll be back. The temptations that Jesus faced were real and powerful. The temptations that we face are real and true. It takes courage and strength to continue to follow God and to turn away from that which would tempt us. Perhaps both as individuals and as a congregation. For 95 years, First Christian Church has been serving the people of Casper and witnessing to the presence and love of God in Jesus Christ. In that 95-year time, there have been some glory days and some hard times. There have been seasons when, as a congregation, it felt like we were wandering in the wilderness for 40 days, for 40 years, for 95 years, finding our way. There have been times of plenty and times of scarcity, and through it all, God has been present with this church. On February 13th, 1921, First Christian Church of Casper, Wyoming was officially organized. So happy birthday, church. Today you're 95 years and one day old. Let's keep going. Reverend Stout was the organizing pastor of our congregation. Shortly after his ministry that helped launch this church, he went on to found other churches, and our congregation called Reverend Hildebrand to pastor with us in the 1920s. Think about the 1920s and the 1930s. Think about what was happening economically in our country, a challenging time. There were some lean days for the fledgling congregation, and Reverend Hildebrand had some specific challenges. In fact, at one point, there were some members of the congregation who asked Hildebrand to resign. You see, he had the audacity to play ball. He was spending time playing baseball with some boys in North Casper. It was kind of a rough part of town. That wasn't a very dignified thing for a minister to do. Hildebrand's logic was, if I get to know these boys and I play baseball with them, then I can invite them to Sunday school. They'll come to the church, and then after they come, they'll bring their parents, and our congregation will grow. It sounds like a great plan, but you see, at that point in time, there was an expectation that clergy would act with decorum and dignity. And it was socially unacceptable for a minister to play baseball with teenage boys on a Sunday afternoon. Yes, he got himself into some hot water. Reading Dr. Badger's History of the Congregation is an interesting journey to kind of connect with our forebears in the faith. We have extra copies available if any of you would like a book about the history of the church. I imagine that Reverend Hildebrand had many sleepless nights. Just reading between the lines, I can picture that there was some tension in the congregation. There were some folks who thought he was a little rough around the edges, perhaps. He was doing some things in a newfangled way. In 1925, he really got himself in hot water. You see, at that point in our community, there was a sort of religious Protestant fraternity. It was very popular with some folks in town. The emphasis of this organization at that point in history in Wyoming, part of the focus was to build up the Protestant faith by putting down the Catholic Church. Reverend Hildebrand, we are told, was the only Protestant pastor in Casper who did not join the Ku Klux Klan. All of his peers found it to be socially acceptable and politically expedient to be part of this fraternity that had a great deal of popularity at that moment in history. With our 2016 eyes looking back, I am very proud of my predecessor for not putting his name on the dotted line, no matter how many other clergy in town did. At one point, the Grand Imperial Wizard of the KKK was speaking at churches in town. Hildebrand got himself in trouble again because he said, I don't agree with this guy, I don't agree with this group, but if we're going to speak against them, we need to know what they stand for. So it would be okay if he came and spoke at First Christian. The board said, no, he is not welcome to speak in our church. There was some misunderstanding in the congregation. Some people thought he was suddenly in favor of this group and was being a wishy-washy flip-flopper that called for his resignation. To avoid splitting the church, Reverend Hildebrand in 1925 wrote a letter of resignation for his role as pastor. It was unanimously rejected by the church board. There were challenging times that happened in our 95-year history. There were times of temptation as well. Jesus' first temptation in the story in Luke was to take care of the physical, to put his body's needs above his spirit's needs. Sometimes that's a temptation we still face. As members here at First Christian, sometimes I wonder, are we tempted to worry more about our physical well-being than our spiritual health? Do we ever think that our building is more important than the ministry we do? Our building is essential to the services that we provide. It offers this wonderful space for us to meet and worship the Lord. Surely it is important. But if we think that the building is all there is to First Christian Church Casper, we won't last another 95 years. The truth is, if a tornado came through town or a flood or a fire and suddenly destroyed our beloved church home, the church would still be here. This building could be leveled, and yet our congregation would still be alive. We would still have ministry to do. We would still be called to care for one another and proclaim the gospel here in Casper. Sometimes as a church, we're tempted to put the physical above the spiritual. And sometimes, just like Jesus' second temptation, I wonder if someone showed up at our front door and said, I just want to tweak your theology a little bit. If you preach exactly the message I tell you to preach, I can guarantee you will be the biggest church in town, the richest church in town, the most popular church in town. You will grow so much, you'll be the biggest church in all of Wyoming. It would be tempting to follow that offer, wouldn't it? Fame, prestige. But at the price of worshiping someone or something who is not God, that is not our calling. In our 95-year history, we have had some good times. Right now, we are having some good times. There are families that have joined our congregation in the past few years who already enrich our life together. And we know that they will help carry the message of God to the next generation. On March 1st, 1953, on a very snowy Sunday, there was a groundbreaking ceremony for this sanctuary. Our first worship service was held here in January 1955. The 50s and early 60s, those were glory days for a lot of Christian churches, not just our congregation. Some of you were here then. You remember hearing Reverend C preach, a dynamic speaker. There was a radio program that attracted people in town, and Casper was booming. At one point in time, our church roles included more than 1,000 members. For a few years there, every year, more than 100 people joined the church every year. We look at that bit of history and we think, what's wrong with us? Well, my friends, it's not that we've changed. The world is changing around us. In the 1950s and the 1960s, if you asked people to rate social organizations what is most important in your life, the average American said, church is number one. By the 1970s, church didn't even make the top 10 list. Not only that, in the 1950s, Casper was booming. Oil prices were up. The uranium mine was running all the time. Energy was big business. And it was easy to grow the church because Casper was growing. Every day, some member of the congregation had a new neighbor move in down the street. A brand new coworker. It was easy to say to somebody who was brand new to town, come to church with me. Come hear that guy you heard on the radio. He really is great. Yes, we are tempted, I think, at times to feel the pull and the allure of past glory days or a future promise that may not actually be God's plan for us. Remember, the temptation Satan was offering to Christ was to turn away from his own identity. If you are the Son of God, well, church, if you are the church of God, then trust in the Lord. Our future is sure and strong. Many of you have lived in Casper long enough to know that after a boom, there comes a bust. It happened here, too. 1965 was a hard time for First Christian Casper. One of the major oil companies in town pulled their headquarters away from Casper, never to return, taking with them multiple employees, including 20 families from our congregation in one fell swoop. Where just a few years before, people had been moving to town in droves, suddenly they were leaving town trying to find jobs. And so people left the church too. It's interesting that in 65 and 66, in between having a lead pastor, the leadership of this congregation decided to make the move to build the Christian education wing. What courage and foresight there was. Part of life means there will be times when we wander in the wilderness. And there will be times of trial. The gift of faith is knowing that in boom times and bust times, in good times and hard times, God is present with us. Jesus would not have been able to survive that 40-day fasting and the temptations of Satan without knowing his identity before. He heard the very voice of God say to him, "You are my beloved." First Christian Casper, you are beloved of God. That's why you've been here for 95 years. And you will be here for 95 years more, serving and sharing the gospel. 95 years from now, this building may look a lot different. The faces in our pews may change, but God's Spirit will still be here and still be at work. In the coming season of Lent, over these 40 days, I invite you to reflect on the temptations you face in your own life, whether they're for physical comfort and power and prestige or testing the Lord. In the midst of that Lenten journey, may you hear God call you by name reminding you that you are beloved. With you, my beloved Son, the voice of God said to Christ, I am well pleased. May it be so for us as well. Amen and amen. Every week we conclude our worship with a hymn of invitation, a hymn of dedication, a song that challenges us to continue to give our hearts to Christ. If there is someone here this morning looking for a church home, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together number 337. And because birthday cake is waiting, we'll sing the first and last verses, Jesus Calls Us, or the Tumult. I do remind you that we have a birthday party waiting downstairs. There's cake and coffee to share, a time of fellowship. I hope whether you're a member here or a visitor today, you'll stay and help us celebrate 95 years of ministry at First Christian. As our benediction today, I would like to share with you a poem of blessing written by Jan Richardson for the season of Lent. The title is Beloved is Where We Begin. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path, there will be help. I can tell you that on this way, there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us, bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear, and with their curious insistence, whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Mm-hmm.